change the culture, the mindset, the expectation level, and improve the brand of Indiana Hoosier football.
Days till football season, Brad. Until then, it's going to be a whole lot of smoke.
How many days?
219, I believe, is the official count until the Hoosiers kick off on August 30th, 2025 against Old Dominion, who we're not going to take lightly, but obviously we're way too far away to even talk about that game. So we're going to talk about a lot of things that are going on currently in the world of the Indiana Hoosiers, and I think it's only right that we started off with where we started off last podcast, and that's talking about Broyles Award finalist, Indiana defensive coordinator, best defensive coach in the country, Brian Haynes. Brian Haynes, last time we spoke, was being looked at for the Penn State job. It's now been over a week. There's been no news, no smoke on that interview, that job, even at all. The Notre Dame job also just came open. Al Golden, their defensive coordinator, just took the Bengals job. And obviously, Haynes being the best defensive coach in the country, probably going to get a look there too. But Haynes, along with the rest of Indiana's coaching staff, they've been out on the road. They've been recruiting. They're hitting the trails hard. Offers for 26 guys, 27 guys, 28 guys. They're going out. 28, actually, I don't know. I don't know if I've seen any of those. But they're on the trail. And Coach Haynes is on the trail. And he's recruiting for Indiana, wearing Indiana, talking to guys about coming to Indiana. So I've tweeted this. I've said it on the pod. Brian Haynes isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, he's sticking around. He is, talked about before, it's a lateral move. He's looking for a head coaching job. Indiana's paying him $1.8 million, I believe, and he's out there recruiting. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to make the move. He might. Who knows? But there's not a whole lot of news on it right now, so there's not a whole lot of Notre Dame. Brian Haynes smoke. There was a little bit. Penn State, there's not much to go off of, so... I'm just going to assume he's staying, and we got a loaded defense coming back with three All-Americans returning. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense for him to leave that. However, there is the nightmare scenario where he does leave and all three of those guys hit the portal. That's a nightmare scenario. I don't think it's going to happen, though.
That is a lot of moving parts to put together essentially what would be a very similar, if not worse, defense than they have right now.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm confident. So that's the last I'm gonna. I'm done with the Brian Haynes leaving talk. Any of it, it's. You can put that on the back burner until next offseason when teams start looking at him for head coaching roles. So, I'm done with the Brian Haynes leaving talk. He's not going anywhere. He's recruiting for the Hoosiers. And yeah, those guys are on the trail. The junior day for Indiana, where they host guys from the class of 2026, is 1 week from this Saturday. It's going to be January 25th. That's going to be a huge event. They're going crazy and all out for that. I'm super excited to see all the media and stuff kind of leading up to it in the later part of next week. And then obviously all the stuff coming out of it. Because I don't know if that'll be a day where they get a bunch of commitments, but it'll be definitely be a day to raise the interest level around Indiana in that class. So really exciting time,
and yeah, it's really just a tone setter for this upcoming class that's going to be recruiting for the 26 cycle. And you said it was on the 25th. That's this Saturday. Yeah,
that's this Saturday.
Yes.
Oh, so it is this Saturday. Oh my god,
it's this Saturday.
I don't know what day it is.
It's this Saturday. And yeah, Brian Haynes is out there recruiting, trying to fill in some gaps. Good thing he has three of his guys coming back that are all named to the ESPN's top 100 college football players list at the end of the season. Aiden Fisher coming at 73. You know, we like the NFL 100, so it's kind of like the same thing. So it's a big honor to be on this list. I'd say it's pretty a lot of snubs. Like Dylan Stewart on South Carolina was not on the list.
I do just want to put a bow on Junior Day very, very quickly. Last year for Junior Day was the unofficial visit that Juju Lewis took I know Byron Baldwin Jr. was there, Davion Chandler was there, among other guys who ended up signing in the class of 2025. So again, huge, huge day coming up this Saturday.
Yeah, tone setter. Tone setter.
Yeah. But yeah, top 100.
Speaking of
huge,
tone setters, Aiden Fisher coming in at 73 on the list. Kamara, 55. Pons at 51. And then our boy Curtis Rourke, who's going to the NFL, coming at 25. Right behind San Jose State's Nick Nash, who set the Triple Crown. So to give you a little context of how high up Rourke was, he's right behind the Triple Crown winner this year.
Yeah, it's funny. A lot like Indiana finishing 10th rated in the AP poll. It's like I see 51 for Pons, 55 for Kamara, 73 for Fisher, and it's just like I'm pumped to have those guys on the list because obviously none of them are ranked preseason. But like Pons was the best cornerback in the Big Ten. Like Kamara led the nation in pressures and was he was one of the best pass rushers in the nation. Like I just, to me, those guys probably should have been a little bit higher. But again, the same way we're talking about being in the playoffs versus not, the same way it gets, you take a step back and it's like, holy shit, like this, they had an incredible season, incredible accomplishments, and that's etched in history. That's forever, or until the internet explodes. So yeah, huge for the guys. To have four guys from this Indiana team named on that team is just huge for notoriety, for recruiting. And yeah, those guys had awesome seasons. And to see them recognized nationally like that, especially from ESPN, who hasn't exactly shown respect to the Hoosiers, it is nice to see that.
Yeah, and Pons was justifiably the highest-ranked Big Ten corner on the list. He was the one of seven corners on it.
So. Gotcha. Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
He's one of one, but he's one of seven on this list. Gotcha. Got it there. Bang. Nailed it.
And then of the guys, of those guys returning, Fisher, Pons, and Kamara, all three are up for College Football 25, stars of the season. If you don't play College Football 25, that's the college football video game that came back after a couple, or after 10 years. But if you do and you play Ultimate Team and you enjoy grabbing Hoosier cards, like I went on and spent 100K coins, because I don't play Ultimate Team, but I just had those coins built up. And I bought all the boys, bought Kamara, bought, I couldn't get Pons or Farrell, but, you know, I bought the boys and I got a nice Hoosier squad going. So you can go vote for those guys right now if you head on over to EA's Twitter page or Google Stars of the Season. Fisher's up for left outside linebacker, I think, or right outside linebacker, which is hilarious. Pons is up for slot corner, which is even funnier. And they got Kamara for left end. And it's nice that they split him and Abdul Carter. So him and Abdul Carter are in separate voting tiers. So hopefully we can get that Kamara card up there too. That'd be dope. Vote for the boys.
Yeah, maybe I gotta rock some Ultimate Team. And because I haven't even played the Ultimate Team. Only the Dynasty and the Road to Glory. I might home it up.
Sometimes. I can't say I didn't play at all because I did end up building up 100K coins, but that was over the course of the season. But it's like I just want to be able to play with the Hoosiers. And it's like Pons is still one of the best corners in the game, so you can't buy him. And Farrell's a defensive back. He's still super expensive. You can't buy him. And they have a Trey Weddy card, which is sick in there too, but it would have been my whole budget. So I was like, am I going to get eight guys or am I going to get the one Trey Weddy card? So,
the one Trey Weddy card.
But yeah, no.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, there's a – it was a – yeah, in terms of notoriety, like – this isn't kind of where I wanted to go with that, but just in terms of getting to know players, getting to know teams, like I remember playing like 2K my career and like MLB The Show and like Madden growing up. And like, that's how I learned the league. That's how you like learn who's on each teams and the guys on special teams and dudes in second units and things like that. And so to have a lot of high profile cards in that game that people are going out of their way to get and make videos about. And it's just more notoriety for the team, better for recruiting, better for the brand. And it's just things you weren't seeing. Obviously, there wasn't any college football video game for the last 10 years, but if there was, you weren't going to see Indiana cards. So it's another way that just the brand of Indiana football has been expanding. But obviously, the most notable way was on the field, and Indiana was the most improved team in the Big Ten. They improved their win total by 8. And obviously we saw it, we felt it as fans, the vibe around the team is completely changed, and it showed on the field. They're 8 wins better than they were last season, most improved team in the Big Ten.
Why is this smoke? We already knew this.
I saw it on I just saw a graphic pop up on Twitter, and I just like it's easy to forget these things because if you just go recency bias, it's like, yeah, like we now believe, like, think of Indiana as a legitimate top 15 football program that has the ability to grow and make a lot of noise in the future. But even 6-8 months ago, like, that, it, just expectations were different. So just to, like, having that, keeping that in mind, it's just, I feel like it kind of helps stay grounded as fans.
100%. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. And a lot of that winning had to do with Curtis Work, like you said, number 25 player rated from ESPN. And he was the number 7 rated quarterback in the nation, according to Pro Football Focus.
Makes sense. He was number 1 in QBR, so checks out in terms of, you know, how he played this year. And yeah, it's definitely going to open up some eyes come, you know, the draft process. I was thinking about, like, what would be the best fit for Curtis Rourke, and I have my answer. Probably going to go late round. It's not going to be a team that's going to take him in the first round. So I don't even want that for him. I want him to come in probably behind a guy that's already there, and he can maybe even beat him out. And there's a spot there that already has a team built, and, you know, I'd say their team is so good, even though they're still playing football this weekend too. And they're so good that they're probably their weakest point is their quarterback. And it's the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, that's crazy, dude. I like Philly as a spot for him, but not for the same reasons you're detailing
Philly getting Curtis Rourke in like the 4th round, comes in there, he's the backup to Hurts.
Hurts has a bad game.
I have to pause you real quick. He's not throwing to Surratt anymore. He's throwing to AJ Brown. That's a big upgrade.
I don't want to rain on your parade, but Philly has the best backup quarterback in the league.
That's not true. Kenny Pickett is not the best backup in the league. He's just not.
He's got a strong argument.
It's Mac Jones.
No, but I do.
Tyson Badgett.
They didn't win anything. No. No,
it's Joe Milton.
Jacksonville would be a nice spot for him. I like the Jets for him. I like Minnesota for him.
I hate that.
You're not drafting Curtis Rourke to be your starter this year. You're drafting him based on upside and the ability to that you know that given the tools he can operate an offense at a high level. You're doing it so that you have a really good backup quarterback in Week 8.
The Niners. Niners would be awesome.
It'd be a great spot, but somewhere where he could sit and learn and like recover. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be something where, like, yeah, go to a good team and learn. Like, but I think all quarterbacks should do
that. Kansas City.
I think Tennessee would be a good spot for him too, because he wouldn't be expected to start right away, and he could come in and push for that job pretty early.
No, because they're drafting a first round quarterback.
Did not, based on what they said today. Did you miss what their GM came out and said today?
Smoke. It's all smoke. Don't believe it. It's all mind games right now with the draft.
The last thing I'll say about the NFL. Actually, no. Second to last thing I'll say about the NFL before that is, oh god, I lost my train of thought. Here's what I'll say. Trey Wedding signed with 1 of 1, same agency as Curtis Rourke. So yeah, Trey Wedding will be in the draft. He's got an agent. And he's going to go to a team and make somebody very happy.
Maybe.
I hope this NFL take comes back to me, because I, for the life of me, just can't remember what I was about to say.
Yeah, Wedding, even though he signed with an agency, you know, it doesn't necessarily guarantee that he's going to get drafted, or he's going to be on a 90-man, most likely.
Him, yeah, his play dictated
Terry Jones, Jalen Walker, Carpenter, CJ West, definitely. Who else? Asbury, maybe. Maybe. Terry Jones, definitely.
Kadick,
probably. Curtis Rourke, Justice Ellison, Tyson
Lawton. Yeah, I was saying the backs will end up. They'll end up on teams for sure.
Keegan Price will also be on teams, but they're probably not going to get drafted. Keegan Price. Miles Cross, who knows with him, too. You never know. He's kind of a freak, so.
This is what we do know, though. Indiana finished 10th in the AP poll, Brad. We had the AP poll talk last week. We both thought they were going to be higher than this. What are your initial thoughts?
I mean, they just bumped up Arizona State, which is pretty justifiable, and, you know, just didn't make any other changes to losers that we were talking about, you know. Arizona State didn't lose in regulation, so it kind of justifies a bump up when you lose like that in the quarters. Compared to everyone else, you kind of got blown out.
Yeah, I was going to say, nobody got rewarded for losing. I wouldn't even say Indiana got punished. It's like they're in the top 10. I think that's more than fair. Again, we both made the argument we thought they'd be higher. Sig had him at four. Sig's top four or top five was the champion, the runner up, Oregon, and then
four or five.
In whatever order you wanted to put.
Penn State, yeah, Indiana,
Penn State, or Penn State, Indiana. That was awesome. I don't know if anybody saw the Sig ice sculpture today, but like he went up and met the people who made it and took a picture with the ice sculpture and all this stuff. Like, is it? That's our guy, man. That's our head coach.
I mean, yeah, if you're going to have someone make an ice sculpture of you, you better go up and say hi. That's just common decency.
But to even...
That's bare minimum.
Because you know how much film that guy's watching, how much recruiting he's doing, how much time, effort, and energy he's putting into Indiana. And so, like, to take the time out of his day to go do that was really cool.
Yes.
One of those guys he's put a lot of time and effort into recruiting is Fernando Mendoza, who Brad Crawford of CBS Sports projects to be the 7th best quarterback in the nation next year. That means nothing, but again, national recognition for Indiana Hoosiers will take all day. And yeah, Fernando Mendoza in this offensive system has the chance to be a really, really explosive player.
So we're going from number 7 quarterback this year to number 7 quarterback projected next year. I think Mendoza's going to finish higher than that. Just looking at the quarterbacks that are out there, like so many question marks out there, and it's so nice having a guy that's actually played high-level football already coming back for us. And, you know, because this was kind of expected with it being the last year of the COVID rule. So a lot of the quarterbacks that are leaving weren't even COVID recruits, so they're gone, and then all the 5th years, the 6th years, they're gone, and it's time, and we were able to get the best junior in the portal to move forward with at quarterback, so that's just huge. Gives us a big leg up in terms of quarterback play comparatively to the rest of the country, where, you know, Ohio State, they're going to have a question mark. Will Howard's gone. I don't know who's going to start. They have some freshmen there. You never know how they're going to pan out.
I am glad you brought up Ohio State, because everyone's just like handing the keys to Julian Sain and being like, cool, Julian Sain's offense, and here goes Ohio State. It's like, I haven't done the deep dive into Ryan Day's, 6 or 7 years at Ohio State, but off the top of my head, the only guy I can remember coming in and starting without, I guess Stroud didn't have, all right, maybe this isn't a good
McCord.
Point. Yeah, I don't know. I find it hard to believe that they're going to go into next season with a complete unknown at quarterback, especially given what could happen with the spring transfer portal and with Quinn Ewers, who declared for the draft. Still, I'm not ruling anything out with Ohio State. I don't think they're done at quarterback.
I'm taking Mendoza over Sain, or the St. Clair true freshman they're bringing in. Notre Dame's bringing in a hot shot. CJ Carr, he's going to compete with Angeli, who was the backup this past year. Penn State brings back Drew Aller. That's really the only real sure thing. Like, that's probably the best quarterback coming back next year. You know, Texas is losing Quinn Ewers, but they're bringing in Arch Manning.
Yeah.
We haven't seen him through a full year. I'm going to project him higher than Mendoza for my end. But yeah, like you can argue Mendoza's going to be top five coming in.
What about your former boy Dante Moore?
He's going to have a lot better O linemen protecting him than he did at his time at UCLA. So I think that's going to benefit him. Kid has a ton of talent. He showed a lot of flashes at UCLA. Also showed a lot of red flags at UCLA. Granted, he was a true freshman with a very bad O-line. So we'll just see. He's just a big question mark for me. He has very high upside. Will he be everything he's made out to be? There's been tons of guys with high upside that don't reach that upside. So, I mean, he could end up being average if, you know, just very, very solid, decent, not a real game changer. Like, think like, I don't know. I guess it's crazy. Because with a team like Oregon, though, that's like enough because you saw kind of Will Howard kind of do that stuff. But Will Howard was winning as a true sophomore at the Big 12. And he came in as a starter as a true freshman, played very well, a lot better than Dante Moore did. You know, you could argue even a lesser program comparatively, Kansas State, UCLA. It's like he had Chip Kelly call and play. It's like it couldn't have been that hard. You know what I mean? Like, why are you throwing so many picks? Was kind of my frustration with Dante Moore when watching him. He has a great arm, great ball. A lot of the guys around Oregon are saying that he's ready to go. So it'll just be exciting to see him kind of step in there. But like I said, another big question mark. Like CJ Carr is a very highly touted guy coming in for Notre Dame. We won't know until he steps on the field, you know.
100%. And then, I mean, the Big Ten's pretty set at quarterback. You look Altmyer for Illinois. You got Raiola, who's going to be another year older for Nebraska.
Is Max Brosmer back for Minnesota?
I don't know. And then Michigan's going to have Underwood coming in, the $11 million man. So, yeah, it's going to – quarterback's in a good spot. Yeah, but
Mikey Keene's going to start.
And the Hoosiers have a damn good one.
Like, I'm taking Mendoza over Mikey Keene. Taking Mendoza over Moore right now.
Mendoza over Billy Edwards for sure.
Mayav is coming back for USC. They should improve. I don't know. Well, I'm not scared of you. As crazy as it is to say, as an Indiana fan, I'm not scared of USC. That sounds crazy to say out loud, but it's the truth. Like we're a better program than them right now. Right at this very moment.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we're not in LA, but like, just you look at the number of 5 stars that have left their roster in the last year or 2 years. I think it's like 20.
I mean, you just go based off wins last year. I don't know. that's the metric I was going to go off of. But yeah, it's just a lot of turnover, a lot of question marks over at USC. Yeah, it'll be crazy. You got Sellers coming back for South Carolina and Lagway coming back for Florida. So those two teams are probably going to be chomping at the bit to maybe break in to the CFP next year.
And LSU guys coming back too.
Nuss is back.
Nussmeier.
Brian Kelly revenge tour potentially. Potentially.
What? 8-4?
Don't disrespect the Tigers like that. They won't stay bad for that long. Brian Kelly is a good coach. I don't like all this. You know, he's definitely a dickhead and a bad person, but he's not like he wins games. So I'm not expecting LSU to be where they're at for very long.
No, there's too much talent. Too much talent. But speaking of too much talent, there will be too much talent in Memorial Stadium next year, and Memorial Stadium's getting an upgrade. This is straight from the athletic department. There was a notice that went out to, I believe, season ticket holders earlier this week. Part of that was just asking for renewals, but the other part of that was due to overwhelming demand for additional premium seating options, a new premium east side area will debut this fall. Look for details on the new east side club in the coming days. So at some point in the next couple of days, we'll have some more information on brand new premium seating in Memorial Stadium, which is just the start, the tip of the iceberg of the upgrades they're going to put into the place, into the facilities, into the stadium, into just the rest of the football infrastructure, because it's proven that if they invest, it'll come back to them. So this is really, really exciting stuff. And like, it's cool to look at, like, we were able to walk onto Memorial Stadium and walk around. And so to see the way it's going to change for the better is exciting to think about.
Yeah, RIP the shrink the rock narrative.
No, we need to expand the rock. Add seats. We'll keep bringing in guys like D'Angelo Ponce, Amari Farrell, and Carter Smith, and we'll continue to do that. All three of those guys re-signed with Hoosiers Connect. I know, again, we weren't worried about Amari Farrell or Carter Smith entering the portal or any of that. We were pretty confident they were locked in for the next season. But just to see those guys specifically, because D'Angelo Ponce had already released his I'm Coming Back video, but to see Farrell and Carter Smith, because we got Omar Cooper and Surratt, Kamara and Fisher earlier, just to see those guys come back, they're locked in with Hoosier Connect. No need to worry about any type of portal scenario with those guys. Like, they're locked in for 2020.
Yeah, it belittles the nightmare scenario of Haynes leaving and taking Fisher and Kamara and Pons with them.
100%. It really does. It as many coach of the years as Cignetti has won this year, it does feel like the only loss of the Hoosier postseason really has been that he didn't win the Bear Bryant Award. That ended up going to Marcus Freeman. And there's an IU Twitter user, El Banco, had a Kurt Cignetti Bear Bryant future. I think it was like 100 to win 10,000. And it didn't cash. But that would have been legendary.
That's I saw that ticket too. And yeah, I'm surprised Cignetti didn't come out with that award.
I was...
Freeman definitely deserved more credit considering all the injuries they went through during the course of the year and going all the way to the ship, and really, minus a little faux pas against NIU, almost ran the table for 15-16-0. They were damn close. About 10.
Yeah,
they're about
really
13
year,
points away from undefeated.
It is a little odd that four of their offensive linemen, including two starters from that playoff run, have hit the portal today. But it's hard to look at Marcus Freeman and argue that he didn't deserve some type of recognition. But at the same time, when you look at Cignetti's season, what he did, where he did it, how he did it, it is a little confusing that he didn't win that award. And it was funny because the night before when I first saw that ticket, or maybe it was earlier in the morning, it was like, okay, cool, the award's going to be announced today. And then I'm on Twitter all day, right? So I'm like 6 hours later, all of a sudden it's like 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, huh, I never saw the Bear Bryant Award. I was like, that can't be a good sign.
And Marcus Freeman took home the prize. His second Coach of the Year award throughout. So it was really Cignetti in the year of Indiana head coaches, really.
Yeah, Cignetti, Freeman, and Kenny Dillingham.
Yeah, Kenny Dillingham, a close runner-up to the Goom Award. Close. Close runner-up.
The most prestigious award in college football.
That or the SoCal Hot Sauce Game of the Week.
Yeah, this is true.
You can order your... We don't have like a script for these. So every time I do an ad read, like, I'm ad-libbing. Just for the listener, just to understand like why it might sound not great on these ad reads.
I don't know what you're talking about. They sound great. Stick to the script, Brad. It's working.
The script. Yeah, you can get your 10% off any order at SoCalHotSauce.com. It's great. I can't speak enough about this hot sauce. I like the hot avocado and the original red the best. Hot red's very hot. A little too much for me, but I guess, you know, I could do a better job maybe dosing it better, you know, just better like ratio of the sauce with what I'm eating is something maybe I could look in the mirror and maybe improve on, you know, go back,
yeah,
crunch some film, figure out, you know, what the right ratio is for my hot sauce and my food. But yeah,
I'm an OG guy, but they're all great.
Yeah, starting with the 4-pack, you get free shipping on top of the 10% promo code. Sigs Inside, that's two words, Sigs Inside, 10% off any order. You get free shipping starting at the 4-pack, but you can order cases, you can order multiple 4-packs. You can, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up, it'd be a nice little holiday, you know, Valentine's Day gift potentially. I don't know if your partner's really into hot sauce, I think that'd be a great way to go. Yeah, so Sigs Inside, two words, Sigs Inside, 10% off, SoCalHotSauce.com. Which brings us to our SoCal Hot Sauce game of the week, the final game of the year. Ohio State, Notre Dame, national title. The two teams Indiana lost to throughout the course of the year for third place Indiana.
Yeah, the narrative was fulfilled. And to be honest, you couldn't have asked for a better start if you were Notre Dame. When we talked about the game last week, we both said Notre Dame needs to eat time off the clock. I think I specifically said, like, take 8 minutes off the clock. They went out and took 10.5 minutes off the clock in the first drive. Riley Leonard was full-blown red, severe injury risk, yeah, like, throwing up on the sidelines literally after the first drive. And it was just kind of like, yeah, that was exactly what Notre Dame needed, but there's no shot they're going to be able to do that for four quarters. So what does the rest of this game look like? And it looked like an Ohio State football game.
It looked
game.
Like a 31 unanswered point route by Ohio. Very impressive. I mean, Ohio did exactly what, you know, we kind of anticipated, which is them to kind of blow the doors off of Notre Dame and be kind of unguardable for them to, you know, stop just with all the weapons they have, great O-line, a really solid defense that can get consistent stops, especially when you can't throw the ball, which they were able to do in some capacity, and they were able to kind of climb back into the game. Jaden Greathouse scored again. What a player.
Yeah, he was
phenomenal.
I think
he's back next year for Notre Dame, too. Like Notre Dame is probably going to be my preseason number one going into next year.
Even without a quarterback?
CJ Carr. He's a question mark, but with that system and the idea that he could throw the ball. makes Notre Dame very scary to me.
You're not an Angeli guy?
Notre Dame fans aren't even Angeli guys. They're all CJ Carr guys. So I'm rocking with the 5-star. I mean, if Angeli wins the job, then that's just wow. Notre Dame's probably not my preseason number one, but I think he's going to win the job. But yeah, Notre Dame was coming back. They were climbing back for a little bit too. Showed a lot of fight, a lot of grit, really showing off kind of the coaching prowess of Marcus Freeman and how he's kind of set that culture. And a big reason why I think they're going to be very good next year. They're only going to build off it. Jeremiah Love's back. Their Price is back. Great House is back. They're going to be a problem next year. And I mean, they showed a lot of fight. There was a moment there where you're like, okay, they're down eight. They just need to stop here. And I was literally thinking, like, man, God might be on their side here. And lo and behold, they just throw like the it's just genius. As good as Chip Kelly is with the scheme and stuff, like at the end of the day, sometimes you just got to throw a deep ball to your best player on third down and win the game. And that's what Ohio State did. And there's like, Jeremiah could beat this guy one-on-one. And he did. And Will Howard, first-round quarterback, top 10, should be through a great ball. And, yeah, and that kind of, you know, and they won the game from there. Kicked a field goal and kind of started the hype train for Will Howard, one overall.
The hype train was started by me 2-3 weeks ago, saying I could see multiple NFL GMs talking themselves into Will Howard as a top 10 pick.
Well, you were tweeting it. I was literally, when you tweeted that, like talking about, like, yeah, that might be a hill I might die on, is that Will Howard might be QB1 in this draft. And And my Michigan friend was like, "That's the hill you're gonna die on is Will Howard." And I was like, "Yeah, maybe, potentially." Like I've been on Will Howard since freshman year, Kansas State. 6'5", can run, can throw it. Playing as a freshman, it looks good. It looks good to me when I see that. I don't know. And he got better throughout the course. Like players improve, guys. Go figure. Especially in college. And I mean, what a season for Will Howard, getting that done. Despite all the, trash talking, which Indiana, which honestly we take as a compliment at this point, throwing the SIG down, like that means it
100%.
mattered to them. And yeah, what a season.
Yeah,
What a
I think
season.
that
What a season for Will Howard and Ohio State getting it done. They put in the investment and they got it. So it's time for Indiana to take note. Maybe one day we can spend $25 million on a roster and run the table. That'd be the dream.
It was funny when I sent that out about Will Howard. It was a little bit more of like I didn't really believe it, but now it's like if the Jets took him at 7 and were like he's gonna sit for a year, I'd be kind of thrilled. But
Why would he
like my
sit?
problems with I think all rookie quarterbacks should sit.
Well, yeah. But who's going to start? Tim Boyle?
Rodgers.
Tim Boyle.
Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers.
Tim Boyle.
But no,
Trevor Siemian.
My biggest issues with Will Howard were never his play on the football field. It's hard to evaluate a guy when he has the best player at every position on the field at all times. But it's like the cigarette thing on the sidelines, just immaturity. Like you're 24, 25 years old, quarterbacking the best team in the country, and your first thought is, I'm going to throw it back in that coach's face. You know what I mean? That's not CEO of a team material. I'm not saying he can't get there,
He's
but that's why, again, that's why I
22 and
would.
he's. I don't think that's immature or anything. Like, I think that's fine. Look at Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield is 10 times worse in college. He's a franchise quarterback right now. He's probably still immature.
That's fair. Listen, I just told you I'd be thrilled if they took him at seven,
Yeah.
but it's my problems with Will Howard aren't what he's shown on the field. But Daniel Jeremiah, I think, was on Pat McAfee today talking about how he hasn't had a chance to dive into a ton of Will Howard film, but he's seen like 3 or 4 games, and there's just like a couple of the decision making things, like his when he slid down against Oregon, or like just a couple of throws are just a little bit off, a couple of bad picks, things like that. So I don't know. What did the guy throw for over 3,500 yards and like 20 something touchdowns and like 8 picks or something like that? Like, he had an unbelievable
He
year.
averaged 300 yards in the college football playoff. Turn on that Indiana film. He played outstanding that game. He was by far the
He
best
was
player on the field in the Indiana game.
even better in the national championship. I think at one point in the national championship, he was like 13 of 13 or 15 of 15 or something like that. Like, he was shredding them. They couldn't, Notre Dame couldn't stop him. All that talk about Leonard Moore and for that matter, any corner on Notre Dame being on the same level too, let alone better than D'Angelo Pons, died on that field. That like dead completely. Like if you want to argue with me, go ahead and check out Jeremiah Smith's highlights against Indiana and then come back to me and we can talk.
He didn't hit us with a go ball. I know that.
3 catches for 23 yards. I rest my case. But yeah, it's Ohio State was the best team in the country. I'll never be able to figure out why they lost to Michigan.
I do. It's a
And
rivalry game,
like I
and
know you could
it's a rivalry game. And I mentioned that they didn't throw the ball enough. It was actually their highest pass attempt number was against Michigan, which is the funniest thing I saw. Kind of ate crow there. But the reason why they lost,
Exactly. I can't figure it out either. It doesn't make sense. It literally doesn't make sense. The only reason it makes sense is if they were like,
Michigan's a tough team.
but
Michigan's a
this
good
first of all,
team.
like
Michigan's good. Their defense
this
is elite. You saw what they did against Bama.
my cons but my conspiracy theory doesn't even make sense, because I'm like, okay, cool. Well, if you lose to Michigan, you're not going to be out of the college football playoff, but you're not going to play in the Big Ten championship game, and you'll have an easier path to make the final, and you'll host the game. So it's like, even if you, but you don't, you're never going to lose to your rival on purpose. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that doesn't even, there's, that starts and dies
especially not in that
before it
especially
even,
not in that rivalry.
No, there's that's what I'm saying. So there's no, like, there's not even, like, they threw the game type of thing. Like, there's nothing makes sense. They just got outplayed. They literally got outplayed by a team they were significantly better than.
It happens. It happens in football. We talk about it all the time. Sometimes it just you just lose. You just lose the game. You just lost. It's okay. It happens. There's kids, you know. I think without that loss, I think if they won that game, they would have lost in the playoff.
Probably. That's one hell of a motivator, man. They still, like, there are still Ohio State fans that want to fire Ryan Day.
No way. Still?
Yeah.
Please, please do it. That'd be awesome. That'd be sweet.
Yeah. That's all I got, Brad. Yeah. You got anything else?
Two fantastic, well, I mean, just a great season overall. I think the college football playoff worked out perfectly. I don't think they should change a thing besides maybe reseeding. No more automatic buys. Just automatic bids.
I did see that the auto buys most likely isn't changing for this season coming up.
Either way, I think it's fine. I think it's going to work itself out. Like, at the end of the day, you should have to kind of earn your spots. And if,
like, listen, Ohio State's not complaining about hosting 30,000 Tennessee fans and taking all that playoff revenue money they got from hosting a playoff game.
No one is.
Nope.
But yeah, I think it worked out perfectly. Can't wait. Waiting for Phil Steele to come out probably sometime in June, July, after spring. Yeah, looking forward to covering the off season, and because we're officially in it now. Officially in the
off season. Is this technically now season two of Sigs Inside, or is this?
This was the season finale, I guess. The season.
I don't think I'm doing seasons. I think it's just one. It's just one season.
Yeah, it's just
it's too confusing.
Just episodes.
Yeah. You can follow Sigs Inside and Indiana Football Podcast on Twitter at Sigs Inside Pod. You can follow Brad at Bradley_Loomis8. He keeps saying he's going to start writing soon, so be on the lookout for that. You can follow me at Alec Keezer. Check out KeysportsNetwork.com. I'll have something coming up this weekend. Shout out to the boys, Wave, Nick Skrill, Signar. Check out Friends and Collaborators, Instrumental Volume 1 on streaming platforms now. The intro song, 1621. The outro song is The Sweet Sound of Butter Symphony. Junior Day is this Saturday. We'll be back next week to recap it, talk about all the smoke, and talk about 2025.
Yeah, I think my first article is going to be how the Dodgers are saving baseball.
And it's not going to make it off the cutting floor.
Get out of here. They're saving it, and I'll have a great article explaining why. Shortly. Good little blog post. Nothing too crazy. Won't make it too long. I don't like writing that much, so it won't be too long.
That's all we do.
Just thoughts on paper. That's all it is.
Thoughts in the world of sports, Brad. That's what Key Sports Network is.
Just thoughts on paper. Peace out, guys. Go Hoosiers.
Hoosiers.